才艺媒体营开始报名喽！七月共两个梯次，五月十五号前想早鸟价，请上网搜寻空英才艺媒体营。
Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Rise of the Machines, today on Advanced.Hello, listeners. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. You are joining us on April 16th, 2025. My name is Peter, and we're glad to have you back for the third day of our news article for the month of April. As we've seen, this is composed of two stories. On our first day, we read about a Swiss sportswear company that is making clothing in part out of CO2, carbon emissions, as a possible way to counter the effects of climate change on the planet. And yesterday we began our two-day article, which we'll continue today. It's called RoboCop, and it is about a robotic crossing guard. A crossing guard, not quite a cop, not quite a police officer, but a guard who stands in the middle of the road during the morning rush hour to make sure that children going to school, if they need to cross the road at that point, have a safe passage across the road, and they direct traffic towards that goal. And there is area in San Francisco, in the Bay Area of San Francisco, which is facing a crossing guard shortage recently. So a professor of electrical and computer engineering, Professor Hovhannes Kalangian, we met yesterday, has come up with a simple prototype of a robot which could act as a crossing guard by itself for the students when there is not a human being to act as a crossing guard. So we'll continue to read the second day of this article today and unpack the idea of robots and crossing guards and child safety. And when I say we, of course, I mean our two panelists who are joining me here today, both back for a third day. I'd like to welcome first Rhonda. Hello, Rhonda.
Hello again, Peter. Great to see you all.
Good to see you too, Rhonda. And we're also joined by the ever redoubtable Simon. Simon, welcome back.
Not sure if redoubtable's a good thing or not, Peter, but thank you very much for the warm greeting.
Good to have you with us here, Simon. So, to begin our article today, like we said, this is about robots, maybe a simple prototype in this case, prototype meaning an early form of something, a simpler form of something usually, that stands as a model for what it could ultimately be. This prototype called CrossBot, like robot, but, you know, with a crossing guard, so you put them together, you get CrossBot. But talking of robots, Rhonda, how do you feel generally about robots? Now, we could talk all day just about this one question, so we're all thoughtful people here in the studio today, just like our listeners. And so within a few minutes, at least, how do you feel about robots?
Well, that's a good question. I'm very interested in the discussion about robots in modern society. Again, referring to my age, when I was a kid, it would have been thought of as a sort of toy fantasy idea. But robotics is very much in our language and in our thinking as society. Robots replacing humans, robots doing tasks that they can do more efficiently, etc. I can only say I'm very interested in the discussion and have learned from a lot of reading I've done that it's not something to be afraid of. It's not as though the old sci-fi movies that somehow we're going to be destroyed by them, but there may be ways that we can live better lives because of robots. And that's what this article, of course, is addressing deep down. It's how do we function as a society where we're trying to keep people safe? Efficiency is important. The whole culture of a community school is sort of between the lines here, as we say, readers, that it's really behind all this discussion. We have a sense of how school life should be for kids. And we, at this table, there's three of us, we come from different different cultures ourselves. I'm from a small town in rural Illinois. Peter, you have more urban experience.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And Simon over there has had just a lot of life, interesting stories, and he's from Canada, so I don't know what some differences might be.
Right, but, you're from a small town, I'm from a big city, and Simon's from Canada.
Yeah, I'm from Canada. Yeah, I didn't mean that. I said, no, that's wonderful. What am I saying? That this view of how children are protected, how school culture is, what it means, the relationship between a school community and the broader community is mm-hmm. all really, I'll say it again, between the lines mm-hmm. in this discussion.
Sure, I agree with you there. Simon, how about you? What do you feel, in a word, about robots?
Don't like them.
Don't like them.
Don't like them.
Oh, I didn't expect that, Simon. Look at you.
Not a big fan. Oh. I mean, you know, I grew up at a time when robots were, I mean, it would be fair to say that robots did to the working class what AI is in the process of doing to white-collar jobs.
There's a thought.
Right? And so, basically, these technologies, they bring with them a lot of benefits in terms of things like efficiency and cost and things, but they also have great human cost associated with them. And so whenever you see a situation here where, like, the robot or the substitute is being introduced, it's a strong indication that it's being introduced because whatever the traditional system was that was running things is deeply degraded or has been mismanaged to the point that it's collapsing. So, I mean, you get that. Actually, we're going to get into that in the first reading. Like, why don't they have crossing guards anymore?
Right, yeah.
Right? And it's not the reason, like you might think, right? Because we had kid crossing guards when I was growing up. We talked about that yesterday. We had adult volunteer crossing guards, like parents and stuff would volunteer at one point, maybe. But then at some point it became sort of a staff position. Why is it they can't find people to do these jobs? Like, why is this robot necessary? And it's basically a mismanagement of people.
Yes.
Right? A mistreatment of people that has led to people not being willing to do the job. And so the solution is maybe not to look for a more controllable replacement for the people. Mm. It's to treat the people properly.
Mm. Interesting thoughts.
That's maybe idealistic. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
No, but that's an interesting take on robots, that their presence can often be an indication of human failure in some way, or human mistreatment.
Systematic failure.
Or systematic failure.
Yeah.
Which, of course,
led to
a human system.
Yeah.
Right, yes. Well, that's a good point. How do you feel about robots? We all have lots of feelings about them. I'm sort of with both Simon and Rhonda here. I think robots have the potential to be very beneficial, to be good tools for various human activities, particularly human activities that might be more dangerous to humans or that might be more, I'm thinking of menial tasks here, the way robots have been used for some decades now, I believe, in car manufacturing. Mm-hmm. In factories that make cars, you get a robot to tighten that little screw on 100 or 200 cars a day instead of having a human being. Obviously, you don't want a human being. You don't want to put a human being out of work necessarily, but at the same time, there's work. And there's work, as we say in English, which is basically a way of saying there's good work and there's bad work. And work like tightening a little screw on 200 cars a day is work that may actually, while it may put food on the table in terms of paying a wage, mentally and spiritually and emotionally, that may cause more harm than good for the human being that does it over time. Maybe a robot is the better solution in that case. But let's see, as we get into our first reading for today, we'll meet a woman named Angela Roberts, the mother of two young daughters in the San Francisco Bay Area, where this crossbot robot prototype has appeared. And she'll sort of give us an overview of the situation in our first reading now. Let's do that.
Angela Roberts, the mother of two young daughters, said she too would be concerned about the reliability of the robot. But she's also seen a lot of turnover with school crossing guards over the last 3 years. Over the last few years, school districts in San Jose, Oakland, Los Altos, San Francisco, and Pleasant Hill have all reported a shortage of crossing guards. Many crossing guards were displaced because of distance learning due to the pandemic, and some never returned to their jobs, reports show. On average, it seems like there is a differently staffed crossing guard every couple months, if not weeks. And it's not uncommon for there to be days where there is no crossing guard at all, Roberts said. From my perspective, the challenge of hiring and retaining crossing guards has been ongoing due to its hours and pay. And while the students and families have always been gracious and appreciative of the crossing guards who have been there, robotic crossing guards may be a good solution.
Okay, so here in our first section, we do meet Angela Roberts. And Rhonda, what does Angela Roberts think of the idea of a robot crossing guard in that first paragraph there?
Sure. This mother, two young daughters, says that she too would be concerned about the reliability of the robot.
She too? Who else is she?
Well, do you remember yesterday the parent who said she would be livid?
Right.
So very angry. Another parent was quoted yesterday. So she too would be concerned. This is, she's more likable than yesterday. But because she's worried about the reliability, can you depend on it? But she's also seen a lot of turnover, a high rate of change with school crossing guards over the last 3 years. So Angela has a reasonable approach to thinking about it.
Right, right. Like Kelly Lathrop yesterday, she would be concerned about the reliability of the robot, maybe not necessarily livid, as Kelly Lathrop said yesterday, livid meaning very, very angry. But Angela Roberts would have this concern, as I think any of us would. But Angela Roberts has also seen a lot of turnover with school crossing guards over the last 3 years. So she, at least perhaps more than Kelly, is aware of the problem that is being addressed here as far as the need for crossing guards is concerned. And Simon, then in our second paragraph, it gets right to the point and talks about a shortage of crossing guards in school districts in the area, San Jose, Oakland, Los Altos, San Francisco, the great city, and Pleasant Hill, all these places in the greater Bay Area of Northern California have reported a shortage of crossing guards in the past year. And why is that?
Well, they use a very gentle phrasing for what would have been a fairly traumatic pattern. They say many crossing guards were displaced, which means fired, lost their jobs, kicked out, or sent home.
Yes.
Because of distance learning during the pandemic. So, of course, in these areas, those COVID-19 lockdowns lasted far longer than they did for many people here on the island. And as a result, you know, they had to move on with their lives. And so when the pandemic ended, after a couple of years, some never returned to their jobs.
Right. Kids not going to school, attending school on Zoom or some other streaming method from within their homes, no need for a crossing guard. And so these crossing guards were displaced, they were let go, or they just walked away, and some never returned to their jobs once lockdown time ended, once it was okay for kids to gather in a school building again. Now, which is an interesting idea, because you think, you know, why is there this shortage of crossing guards in the first place? And it reminds us here that at least one reason, being the pandemic, this is yet another way, and this is a separate topic, of course, but this is yet another way that the pandemic really had a deep impact on all of human society during that year or two that it was at its height. Obviously, people are still suffering from COVID as we speak even, but it is no longer really considered to be at the pandemic level, certainly not at the level where we are seeing lockdowns across the world and kids are not going into a school building anymore. So Angela Roberts continues on here in the third section. She says that from her perspective, there is a challenge of hiring and retaining
crossing guards. First, she says in the beginning of that third paragraph there, she says it seems like there's a differently staffed crossing guard every couple months. A differently staffed just means there's a different person, it seems, to her, acting as crossing guard every couple months, if not weeks, meaning sometimes it's even every couple weeks, there seems to be a different person there. And Kelly Lathrop said yesterday, a person gets to know a child, but then they go away and a new person comes in and that person doesn't know the child and the child doesn't know them. And maybe there's, you know, more hesitancy there, more insecurity there, which can impact the effectiveness of the crossing guard work. It's not uncommon for there to be days when there are no crossing guard at all, says Roberts. So Rhonda, she goes on to say that from her perspective, there's this challenge of hiring and retaining crossing guards. Why is it a challenge to hire and retain, meaning to keep, crossing guards?
Sure. We see the word do. It's been an ongoing challenge due to, because of, its hours and pay.
Right. It's hours and pay. She says the students and families have always been gracious and appreciative of the crossing guards, so it's not that it's a tough job necessarily. It's not that the kids or the families don't like the crossing guard, like there's some interpersonal conflict there. The challenge of hiring and retaining crossing guards is mainly due to the hours and the pay. You have to kind of get up early in the morning when kids are going to school, and the pay is not much because it is what we would call unskilled labor. You basically just stand in the street and tell the cars to stop while the kids, I'm not denigrating the work of crossing guards, but in terms of the skill set needed to be a crossing guard, it isn't something you need a graduate degree for, and so that, rightly or wrongly, affects the wage that is paid. Now, Rhonda, you had a comment?
Well, and also, at least in where I'm from in rural America, this would just be something someone does for about 30 minutes in the morning and 30 minutes in the afternoon.
Right.
So I don't know if crossing guards in different places, countries, school sizes, whatever is different, but it strikes me as this really would be a volunteer position anyway of a, I don't know that anyone would commute through their crossing guard job. Am I right? It's just a short,
well, see, it's a bit odd that they don't combine some of these things. Like, there's all kinds of jobs like that at a school. For example, like playground monitors.
Right.
Are basically like, you know, volunteers or people who are paid to sort of just watch the children so you have enough adults supervising play during, you know, recess, lunch, etc. So there's, you know, it seems odd to me that those things can't be combined so that the person is at or around the school throughout the day.
Having a general sort of safety person
around. The other thing is in the United States, right, it's like they have a cleaning staff at the school. They have a security staff at the school. They have, students don't clean the school in North America. There's like paid adults doing that. So why those functions can't be sort of combined to create sort of a normal job is absolutely beyond me.
Sure.
Yeah, but, Simon raises a good point here, which I'm afraid the article does not directly address, at least in terms of the people who are interviewed for the article. The article is focusing mainly on this robot crossbot and what people think of that and how it could work, how it could not. But Simon does help expand the picture of possibilities here a bit with the, you know, almost commonsensical idea. Why not just add this to the work of a current school employee, since the hours do seem to be fairly short and the skill set, like we've said, not too demanding. Let's go on to our second reading now and understand a bit more, speaking of seeing the broader picture here. Let's look at the issue of school crossing guards outside of the Bay Area of San Francisco. Let's go into our second reading now.
A national issue. While accidents, including pedestrian-related car crashes, are the second leading cause of death for children under 14, according to the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, people on foot of all ages face danger on the street. The Governor's Highway Safety Association, which tracks pedestrian deaths in the United States, found that more than 7,500 pedestrians were killed by drivers in 2022, the latest year that data was available. That was the highest number since 1981, the report said. Kalanjian said his robot isn't meant to take away jobs from humans, but a years-long crossing guard shortage in the Bay Area shows that may not be an issue. While Kalanjian said he may add additional components to the robot, such as a large red stop sign, he said he believes the device could last a decade and cost a school district about $15,000 to $17,000 to buy. Crossbot is designed to complement and enhance human efforts rather than replace them, Kalanjian said.
All right, so in our second section, the subhead for the section is a national issue. A national issue, meaning an issue that applies nationwide, in this case the nation being the United States. This issue is not just particular to this neighborhood in San Francisco. It is a nationwide issue, or at least that's what the subhead says. Rhonda, why is it described as a national issue?
Well, we go into some statistics about how many people, pedestrians, people on foot, are killed by cars. And we have a detail about children under 14. Now, I'm noting that I don't think in these first two paragraphs we've just heard there's anything about statistics for children killed crossing the street to get into their school. So the national issue is our reporter has opened up for us to think about how dangerous cars are to people.
Right. And the author uses the language, she says specifically, accidents, including pedestrian-related car crashes, are the second leading cause of death for children under 14. So she does not specify of that number how many are specifically happening to children attempting to get to school. But certainly children attempting to get to school are included in that number. And this is according to the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, a government agency. But our author cites it to make the point that people on foot of all ages face danger on the street, that this crossing guard situation in San Francisco and nationwide is just part of a larger issue. She goes on in the second paragraph to say that the Governor's Highway Safety Association, which tracks pedestrian deaths in the United States, there's a fun job, found that more than 7,500 pedestrians were killed by drivers in 2022, the latest year that data was available. And what stands out to me is that next line. Simon, what is it?
That was the highest number since 1981, according to this report. So there was a decrease in the number of people who were walking and were killed by vehicles. And then that has increased again in the most recent year for which they
for which there is data. Yeah. So obviously, getting hit by a car has always been a risk and a sad cause of death as long as we've had cars in society. That's nothing new. But it does seem, at least in America, that currently there is an increase in car-related fatalities for pedestrians, which again is not just school kids because there's no crossing guard, but certainly they are included in that. And so I think the author is wanting to cast to understand this as a national issue and not just this funny little thing that's going on in the San Francisco area. But then the author switches us back to Professor Kalanjian, the inventor of Crossbot, and sort of also shifts the focus. In those first two paragraphs, the author is casting the net, as it were, for the issue of pedestrian-related fatalities and showing that it is a nationwide thing, and the implication being that we should be considering all ways to diminish those numbers, to lower those numbers, and perhaps a robot crossing guard could play some part in that. But now here, bringing back Professor Kalanjian, Kalanjian addresses another concern about Crossbot, about robot crossing guards that we've already heard from. What is that concern that he addresses, Rhonda?
He says it isn't meant to take away jobs from humans. So his intention is not to replace people doing work, but he has noted that there's been a years-long crossing guard shortage in the Bay Area. So the issue isn't taking away from humans. It's there's no humans available
to
do the job.
Certainly that is, like we've mentioned, a concern with robots generally, that and with all forms of mechanization and advances in tools. This is going back to the Industrial Revolution in the 19th century when there were riots in Europe about workers who were concerned that these big new machines in the factories were taking work away from them. And in fact, they were. So that has always been a concern, how humans can live in harmony with the tools that they make to accomplish their work. But the point here is simply that you have an ongoing crossing guard shortage in the Bay Area, and here at least, robots could be the answer. These robots, we go on to read here, could cost the school district, by Professor Kalangian's estimate, about $15,000 to $17,000 to buy, and could last up to a decade. Kalangian concludes our article here by sort of reaffirming his point that he's not trying to take jobs away from humans. He says, right in that last line there, Crossbot is designed to complement and enhance human efforts rather than replace them. Compliment there, that funny English word that sounds like compliment when you say something nice about a person, but complement, when there's an E in the middle instead of an I, means to work together with, to supplement in some way, to make better, to complement something, in this case, human efforts, rather than to replace humans altogether. Readers, that does bring us to the end of our article for today and to the end of our three-day news article. We thank you for joining us. We hope that you've had some food for thought, as well as some good practice for your English vocabulary. But we must wrap it up for today and invite you to join us next time when we'll have a new article for you to read and think about and talk about with us. But for today, I'm Peter.
I'm Rhonda.
And I'm Simon.
Saying bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.